B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Yeah. She's tremendous.
I'm thinking of, like, you know, Tina Fey jumps to mind.
Yeah. She's up there.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the original SNL women, Gilda Radner, you know.
Yeah,
like
she would be the other one that jumps in my mind. Yeah.
But she's up there. She's incredibly talented.
Yeah, she's on the Mount Rushmore of hilarious women. But it's a good movie, but you can wait till it comes out, whatever it comes to home.
Jamie and I watched Parasite.
Yeah, I inspired Trey with a tweet on Saturday to watch Parasite on Sunday.
Is that the movie you have to read?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm out. There's subtitles.
No, it's actually good, though. It's not.
You watched the whole movie, Parasite?
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
It's only an hour 50, I think.
It's a good movie, though.
It's really good.
For a movie that you have to read?
Yeah, those are called books, and generally I'm out on those. No,
it was quite entertaining, though. It wasn't. The subtitles weren't that fast where you're like, wait a minute, I got to rewind.
You know? That's my detriment.
It was good. It was a really good movie.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
It won like an award recently, didn't it?
Something like that. That's what we're doing now.
Yeah.
I got to watch Split first, and then I'll watch Parasite.
Yeah, Parasite was good. It was a good movie.
A buddy of mine won like $300 on that movie because he bet that it would win.
Really?
Yeah. And he was like, And he told me beforehand. And when it won, I thought of him. I was like, congratulations.
Good for
helping you.
What did you watch? What was your Valentine's movie? Did you go out
that night? What did we have? We had something where we had to go out that night. I forget. So it was a late night getting home, so didn't watch a movie on Valentine's
night. It was actually
just
a YouTube video called I Hate Didi Gregorius.
Huge upgrade. It's
when you
they're going
to
win the World Series. Because
when you go to that hub site, it has all kinds of different categories of movies and such.
Yeah.
For Valentine's Day.
Well, you didn't watch a movie. You were painting.
Nah, we were painting.
Yeah.
Each other?
We were painting. Well, it was a combined canvas. So, you know, you put two canvases together and you paint. And, you know,
like a partner paint? Like one does the left, painting, one does
do
the right.
You know, it was like a big heart in the middle.
And then you meet in the middle.
Beautiful. You got to love.
It's like Lady in the Tramp spaghetti scene, only in painting.
It's like, baby, hold on, wait. Let me make my heart a little bigger.
You complete me. Now let me complete you.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
So,
you gotta love.
Speaking of loving love.
Yes.
You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WPN, Brilliant to Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. Don't forget that if you want to sign up for our Courting on the Court contest, you can still do that at 97.5thefanatic.com. We want to sign up our listeners. We want to pair you up and send you to a Sixers game where the Sixers take on the Hawks on February 24th. We'll get you a second row ticket, you and your to-be date. All right. Parking pass, complimentary food, drinks, seats also. Plus, your date will be chaperoned by Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch. All courtesy of our
still talking to each other.
All courtesy of our great friends at Rothman Orthopedics. You can have this sexy debate of DD versus Gene just in your ear the entire time as you're trying to make whoopee. Imagine that. And guys and ladies, you can go to our contest page at 975thefanatic.com.
I believe that's a performance deterrent.
Hindering drug is what I like to call it. You can submit a picture of yourself and a brief profile, and we'll do our best to match up the perfect pair. Imagine if these two get married and they have us and Rothman Orthopedics to thank for it. If they have Bob and Jamie to thank for it, Trey, you can go to 975thefanatic.com and register right there. Our morning show matchmaker file will go through all the pictures. Our morning show matchmaker of our promotions department will go through these, try to figure out the best pairing, and we'll have you guys call in, as a matter of fact. That'll be your first conversation on the air.
Aww,
what could
so
go wrong?
Sweet.
It would be nice, right? Like, I like to pitch it like this. Think about this. You go on the Tinder and you go on all the apps and all that stuff. Do you get courtside tickets to the Sixers game?
No.
No. You get free booze? No. Unless one is paying. I'm not going to say it's the man because we live in a modern society. Maybe it's the woman paying. But I'm telling you right now, it's complimentary. Boom. What's better than that? I'll answer it for you. Nothing is better than that. And that's why we're speaking of love. Thanks again to our friends at Rothman Orthopedics. Don't let back pain or shoulder pain or knee pain or hip pain stop you from doing what you love. Turn to the experts at Rothman Orthopedics, proud orthopedic partner of the Philadelphia 76ers. Another thing that popped up over the weekend, Adam Schefter dropping a little bit of an atom bomb, if you will. I don't know what you'd call it. But apparently the Detroit Lions are shopping Darius Slay, Pro Bowl corner Darius Slay, 29 years old, still in the prime of his career, and they're considering trade options around the league for Darius Slay. Now, he wants a new deal, he wants a new contract. Other teams believe that Slay will be traded this offseason, but the Lions are adamant on the value that he actually has. So, would you make a trade right now for Darius? Can we all do we want Darius Slay on the Eagles?
Well, yes. It's going to require about a $15 million per contract extension.
It's going to cost you some money.
Which I don't give a damn about.
You're going to be overhauling.
They can handle that.
Yeah, and you can overhaul. You've got to overhaul your. You might be overhauling your secondary anyway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. With their inability to draft cornerbacks, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, okay, Darius Slay.
Yeah.
All right, okay. So buy Jalen Mills.
Plus Mrs. Slay. Hi. She's very attractive.
Howie, if you're not mentioning this in trade talks, then you're a coward. That's all as far as I'm concerned. But Darius Slay, all right, and you're moving on from Jalen Mills. You'd be moving on from Ronald Darby. Can you afford a new deal for Malcolm Jenkins if that's what it comes to?
My gut tells me he's gone, and I don't necessarily like it, but something, I don't know. I think McLeod
Jenkins,
stayed.
You're saying?
Jenkins, yeah.
I think he's gone, too.
My gut says McLeod stays and Jenkins goes.
I think of the two, McLeod has
I think they're going to try and restructure calls, him, yeah.
So if you're going to go out and make a deal for Slay, that all but seals the fate, I think, of Malcolm Jenkins, because you're going to be looking to save more money in the secondary. Like, I'm not saying I'm championing that cause.
No, I don't like it either.
But if it means Darius Slay, I feel pretty comforted.
Yeah.
Do you the deal with Darius Slay?
Yeah.
Heartbeat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, is there any question here?
He has the most passes defended against in the entire NFL, dating back to, I think, even 2014.
Yeah, okay. they went to 20. Somebody went to 2015. And he said something like, go back to 12 or whatever he said.
He said, go back to 2014 while you're at it.
Keep doing your homework, you nerd.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to see him here in Philadelphia, and I don't want to admit it, but I can't help it. And I know that it's wrong, so know when I say this, I know that I'm wrong. But I still get freaked out when it comes to acquiring a corner.
You're wrong.
Because of, like, you know, Nnamdi.
He was on 60 Minutes the other night, or CBS Sunday Morning. I forget which one I was watching.
One of his documentaries?
No, he's on Broadway now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I saw that, and I wanted to throw my remote at the TV. And I was like, good for you, but I hate you.
What is he on? What is he in?
I forget. I'll look it up. I literally blacked out because I didn't want to watch it.
Was he in Hamilton? Is he the new Hamilton? He's Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice on Broadway.
I'll go see that. Don't you worry.
What other is it? Is it Kinky Boots? Maybe he's with Tiki. I don't know. And Kinky Boots.
One kid, I don't know. Our imaginations will run wild.
And he said he felt like he belongs here.
Okay. There you go.
A soldier's play.
A soldier's play.
Nnamdi said he thinks he felt like he belonged on Broadway?
Yeah.
All right.
Good. He's been acting now for a couple years.
Actually, no. I saw a couple of the actors that acted with him. They were tweeting about how he was having lunch in his car, and they were freaked out. All right. That's an old stupid
joke. You
want to
talk about, you know, wives and girlfriends. Kerry Washington.
Sup.
My goodness.
Yep. That's scandal. That's a scandal. She was on the Scandal
show.
Yeah,
she was. Yeah.
It's a fine program.
Yeah, Soldiers so Play.
A kid that I coached in high school, executive producer of Scandal.
Look at us. We're making moves. So from Darius Slay to Kerry Washington, we want them both is what we're saying. That's what we want. Darius Slay, make it happen, Howie. I do have a little bit of that fear because of the Nnamdi thing, and whenever it seems like there is a great acquisition to be had in the secondary, I just feel like it doesn't work out. I mean, like, Ronald Darby was brought here for Jordan Matthews. Like, that wasn't a huge, oh, look what they're getting back. This is great. It was like, oh, okay, let's see what happens. And then a seventh-round pick, like Jalen Mills, ends up, those are your two corners when you win a Super Bowl. Like, it doesn't have to be some kind of flashy move. This would be a flashy move, but I'd still love to see Darius Slay here. I don't know the totality of what it'll cost you, but I know if you're looking to make big upgrades on this team, you talk about upgrades, no argument. That is a huge upgrade right there, and bringing in a guy like Darius Slay. Adam Schefter is saying he's available. There's some reports that saying the Eagles are kicking the tires on it. I want to see it happen. That's a move that I'd love to see Howie Roseman make. That'd be one heck of a year to start up the transactions for the upcoming season. That's what I, Trey, I don't know how he fits in here, if you got to worry about that, but when you think of Darius Slay, what, good fit in the secondary?
It doesn't matter how he fits. He's going, hey, you make this work. Get in here, let's go. I mean, he's an upgrade. Let's go. That's because you need to upgrade your secondary anyway. That was one of the weak points. All right, here we go. Now, you know, once your secondary is taken care of, now you can start looking at it. What are we going to do with receivers?
And that's like one of the positions, I think, Trey, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you have a shutdown corner, yeah, you go be you.
Yes.
Like, you don't have to evolve anything around him. It's you be you, mm-hmm. and we'll figure everything else out. There's really no other positions that you can do that with.
No. And that's one. Corners are one of the very few positions that I really like, really respect. Because, I mean, when they mess up, that's it. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, cue the band. I mean, you know, it's 6 points. Mm. So, you know, it's an extremely talented position. And when you can get one, that's why I was so big on, like, hey, man, let's go try to get Ramsey. But, hey, all right, here we go. Another opportunity for us to bring someone else in. Let's get Darius Slay.
As far as I'm concerned, he's already here.
All right.
That's it. I'm going to operate the rest of this offseason.
I can't imagine what it would be like to have a cornerback on this team that actually, you know, makes plays on the ball.
But let's not be greedy.
It's a crazy thought, but it might be fun.
That you want to announce your presence with a thought. Like, if you're Howie Roseman, you have to be thinking to yourself, all right, I had a down year.
Yeah.
Like, I know we made the playoffs again at 9-7, but I know we made the playoffs. I didn't make any big splash. What was the move I made that people went, oh, that Howie Roseman, he still knows what he's doing? There was no move. There was no move that made you feel like that. And yeah, you could talk about it because it was injury, and you could blame that with Malik Jackson, DeSean Jackson going down so early in the season. But there's no move throughout the year that you really made us go, oh, wow, this that Howie's got it, man. Mm-hmm. He's still got it. This could be the move that really gets a lot of people's attention because you solidify at least one of your corner positions. He's played both left and right corner, predominantly a right corner, though, throughout his career. And he's a guy that you can basically say, yeah, okay, go over here and shut this guy down, and he can take care of it for you.
So he played predominantly right corner.
Huh. What is in Detroit, yeah. That's where Mills played, yeah.
So what are you going to do with Mills?
Mills might not even be back. Mills might be a guy that does return, and Ronald Darby might go elsewhere.
Oh, Darby's gone.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind keeping Mills as a depth guy.
Neither would I.
Let him fight for the second starting cornerback job and have him as some depth.
Yeah, but he's also a Super Bowl winning corner, so if he goes into free agency, which he's up for this year,
yeah.
Then someone might actually pay him.
Yeah, more than what the Eagles possible, are willing
to
pay him.
Which is, guess what?
Okay. Yeah, I'm willing to take that chance.
Well, man, what if he goes like somewhere where he has to dye his hair something other than green?
That would be weird.
Like, he can only really go to the Jets, right?
Yeah. Maybe the Packers?
Seahawks, that's kind of like their highlight.
Yeah, you have to go more of a neon. Yeah. So these are we cover every facet of this trade.
Okay. From butt slapping to hair colors, we got it all.
more on the JoJo and Ben Simmons conspiracy theory, by the way, coming up in a minute, because for the first time, this man did something that I got to go. I'm sorry. I can't agree with you on this one. I can't support you. We'll get to that in a second. It has to do with the Sixers and Ben Simmons, as well as Joel Embiid. Time at the Fanatic is 7:12.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
One thing that did come out of this whole movie adventure Friday night for Valentine's Day, other than enjoying the movie downhill, I enjoyed it. You can wait for it to come out, but it was a Valentine's Day. My wife wanted to see it, so we went to see it. Boom. Just like that. I saw the preview for the new Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see that.
What's the original guy's roles in it? Because they are in it, right? They like the senior Ghostbusters passing down their wisdom, or
the role is
what's going on here.
The kid, it's a kid that's a Ghostbuster, and he's like the grandson of Egon.
Okay,
I'm done with Ghostbusters. That has kind of ran its course. It was dudes.
Yeah,
the feminist movement jumped on it. And then it was women, and then now it's kids.
I think all 4 of the women that were in the women's Ghostbuster movie are hilarious women.
Yeah, that's
I
cool.
thought that movie was terrible.
Yeah. You saw that movie?
I saw the movie.
Wow.
Yeah, because again, I think all four of the women in the movie are hilarious. Mm-hmm. But that movie, don't even get.
Did
me started.
You know that Melissa McCarthy and Jenny McCarthy are first cousins?
Yeah, how about that?
It was a Jeopardy question last week.
You posted that on Twitter, didn't you?
Broke my brain.
Broke your brain. I have no desire to see any more Ghostbusters. Yeah, I'm with Trey on this one.
You lost me. The song's on. I don't care what anyone's saying. This is my jam.
Who sings it?
Even though it's a rip-off.
Ray Parker, Bob.
Ray Parker Jr.
It's a rip-off. All right. I'm James Lynch Jr. I don't require people call me Jr.
You have us call you the
call
second.
You a lot of things.
We call you the second. This is Trey. You are toi.
I saw dinosaurs on Valentine's night. I went to Jurassic World down at the Wells Fargo Center. We took our son Tommy.
I took a peek.
Who loves dinosaurs.
It was all set up. It was cool. It was
fun. Yeah, we had a really good time. That's why I had a brain fart earlier when you asked me what you did on Valentine's night. And I heard from the missus.
And the missus also said, by the way, DD is an upgrade.
She said, now you leave Jamie alone.
By the way, your fake news stats are total garbage. Averaging 16 home runs a year.
Is the term aggregated stats? What's the term? Antiquated?
Antiquated? I don't know.
Out of date.
27, 25, and 16 most recently.
Yeah.
Just take his last 3 years, even though he's 30
years
old.
Yeah, you mean when
you
don't have to play 82 games? When he found his power?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's do stats from when he found his power.
You like to count a 7-9 home run season when he was a Ute against him. That's fun. It's fun to manipulate numbers however you want.
All right. Well, your Zach Wheeler huge upgrade is averaged 9 wins over the last 3 years since Tommy John surgery. So, yeah, he's your Cy Young James.
Who's he an upgrade? I never said Cy Young.
All-Star. I'm sorry. He's your All-Star. Yeah.
Who's he an upgrade over? That's right. It's Nick Pavetta. So, yes,
no,
it's
he
huge
would be
upgrade.
An upgrade over. Nick wouldn't he Pavetta. Be an upgrade over your number 2 from last year?
Which was Nick Pavetta.
Now, he was your number. Oh, yeah, he was Nick, your number 2.
When they set the rotation opening day,
Starting to open your eyes a little bit here, Bobby.
9 wins, you're opening my eyes, right? You're really going to go to battle over a guy averaging 9 wins over the last 3 years with a 4 ERA.
He will die on Wheeler Hill.
All right. Good. That's why.
I acknowledge the man's an upgrade.
And I told you during the break, and now I'm telling you again on air, you're not allowed on the DD train.
Not allowed on the DD choo-choo, unfortunately, there, Bobby. Unfortunately. Okay. Trey, are you on the DD choo-choo? Are you on the DD choo-choo? 610-632-0975. And when you say you're on it, you have to say DD choo-choo.
Choo-choo.
Choo-choo DD.
Choo-choo. Not former process era Sixer choo-choo. It was choo-choo, I believe.
Who?
He was one of these second round Euro players.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. His name was like
even
choo-choo.
I don't remember that.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have to say you're on the DD choo-choo? Or we go Spanish with it, because it's even more fun, the choo-choo DDD. Huh?
I'm in.
I see what you did there.
See what I did
there? I'm throwing coal in the stove.
That's what you're doing. All right, there's one more thing from All-Star Weekend. And we touched on this at the beginning of the show, and here it is again, because I hate this. I love Charles Barkley. I support Charles Barkley. I admire the man. I don't need Charles Barkley fanning the flame of this fake news story that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons hate each other and can't play with one another. And they can't wait till they're out of town. And that's what is developing until one is out of town. And that's the story that is developing right now. Not just here with some people that like to poke, but other people in the national media. And the last person I need taking up that cause and fanning that flame is Charles Barkley. And over All-Star Weekend, which, as I said earlier, I loved All-Star Weekend. I was entertained by the skills competition. I loved the All-Star Game. The fourth quarter was incredible. It was the best version of the All-Star Game I have seen in quite some time, since I was a little kid. That's how much I enjoyed this, even since I was like 12, 13 years old watching the All-Star Game. It was great. The one thing that I took away from it that was annoying to me was this Charles Barkley commenting on how, making a joke about how Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons don't like each other. Because to me, that only adds a layer to the story of these two not really going to be playing for a long time together in Philadelphia, when both have said they want to play in Philly. Now, because they haven't shouted from the rooftops that they want to play with one another, it really started with, what was it, media night? They had like an all-star media night differently than they've ever had it before. They had it more like the Super Bowl opening media night with all the players, like podiums essentially, and any group of reporters could go up and ask them questions. And Joel said that it was just flat out BS that him and Ben don't like each other. Then you see during the course of the game, and we have Zapruder'd this and we have really broken down the film, it's Ben Simmons running up behind Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter and slapping Joel Embiid on the butt, like an old Good Hustle type of thing, only it's with a little extra stank on it, mm-hmm. where he goes up, winds up, Trey, yeah. and with his right hand,
with his right hand,
which Jamie so accurately pointed out, slapped JoJo in the butt. In like a fun, brotherly, jovial manner, like a call just went in Team LeBron's way. It just went there, Team LeBron's way. So then he was kind of rubbing it into Team Giannis's center in Joel Embiid.
Mm.
It looked great. Looked funny. It looked fun.
You have to have a comfort level with somebody in order to be able to do that to them.
Yes. Yeah.
So there is a comfort level there. How Charles didn't see it, I don't know.
I don't know either.
No,
but I feel like it's a lazy narrative that will not that will now only be picked up more because Charles Barkley's joking about it now. And Charles Barkley is supposed to be a huge ambassador for Philadelphia to the rest of the country and the rest of the NBA world. And now people are going to buy into this more because Charles even joking about it.
It did almost look like Embiid was about to throw hands, though, when he turned around. Like, what the hell?
My thought was, did he think somebody else did it?
Yeah, I think he was looking to
who
like,
was that?
Who did it?
Right.
And then when he saw it was Ben.
Who slapped thy butt?
Yeah.
You know.
I think that's how it went down. Yeah. And that to me is unfortunate.
And maybe this is, you know, we always talk about Embiid and motivation and all that stuff. Well, maybe this is his motivation to show just how well the two of them can get along. And maybe we'll see it on the floor from here on out this season.
Mm-hmm. I'll start it with a butt slap.
That's it. Sometimes it starts with, you know,
next thing you know,
things.
They'll be at the candy dish together.
Yeah.
In the candy room, hanging out.
And where did one of the greatest inner rivalries, I don't know how you would call it, was solved at the All-Star game?
Who was that? What?
Allen Iverson. Larry Brown.
Oh, did they come to the truce at the All-Star game?
Larry Brown. Allen Iverson wins the MVP award in 2001, 2001 All-Star game. Immediately. Remember what he said?
He thanked his coach.
Where's my coach?
That's right.
Where's my coach? Where's my coach? Larry Brown came up. Loving moment. Happy Valentine's Day. Loving moment. And then it was all gravy after that. The All-Star game is where you put those issues to bed.
Huh?
That's all you got to worry about.
Well, look at that.
And by the way, Ben did scare the hell out of me with that little trip he had.
I was about to throw hands with that mop
after
boy.
The dunk. Yeah, after the dunk.
Oh my God! Yeah, what the hell? Where was mop boy on that one?
I don't know.
Is there any
slacking?
I don't mean this to sound condescending, but is there any better format for a basketball game for Ben Simmons than an All-Star game?
No, he's perfectly formatted.
Ben, run as fast as you can towards the rim. I'll throw it up to you. Okay, yeah. Cool. Do I have to shoot? No. Okay, cool. I was waiting for Ben to shoot a three.
I wanted him to shoot a three.
I wanted Joel Embiid in his face as he did it.
He said he was going to, you know, kind of tempt him to shoot it, and it didn't happen.
But the other thing was that Ben also stole the ball from him like three times.
Yeah.
Almost as a consecutive plays, it seemed like. Ben was certainly hustling in that one. Mm-hmm. And I also saw this question kind of start to fan a flame a little bit here. People asking, somebody asked me on Twitter, who was the better All-Star, JoJo or Ben?
Uh-oh.
What?
Who do you say?
See, you know.
No.
You know that's a firestorm.
But who do you say?
I said Ben.
Okay.
In terms of the All-Star playing in the All-Star game, Ben.
Ben, okay.
But in terms of like who's more deserving of an All-Star appearance, there's no question it was JoJo.
Mm-hmm.
But you saw late, Team Giannis needed some buckets. They were going to JoJo.
They were going JoJo. Little dream shake by him as well. Let's get Bill in Fishtown up here. Bill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning, man.
I was calling for a Sixers point, and Marky, you brought it up. One thing I was wondering was, how they're going to come back after the All-Star break. Are they going to take a little while to get ready, or are they going to be on the same gear that they were on before they went? And one thing I watched after the Miami game was Ben and Joe's their demeanor towards each other.
Uh-huh.
And I don't see much of a problem there. If you ever watch athletes who have problems with each other, especially on the same team, watch them during a game and watch their body language, and you can tell if there's a real problem or not. They're slapping fives, they're communicating. Usually you don't get that when guys are beefing or whatever. And I think there's a lot more of fantasy involved with this beef than anything.
We were commenting on it in the Clippers game after Marcus Morris and Joel Embiid got after it again in that game. Ben Simmons was right there with Joe, and they were like walking off the court together, and everything seemed cool. Even after the fight at Karl Anthony Towns, Ben Simmons was right there on the sideline saying, "I got you no matter what. I got you. I got your back." Like, I don't see any evidence of those two on the court seeming like they're at all at odds. So right. I think it is a fabricated story, one that that certain media members are rooting for to happen for two reasons. One, it's a great story when teammates hate each other. And two, these two teammates hating each other would mean the demise and the epic fail of the process, which people weren't on board from the start. So that's why these people want that story to be there, because if this fails, guess what? I was right the whole time. You can't lose for three or four seasons and all of a sudden think it's going to work out for you. Like, that's what people are rooting for right now. That's why this big slab of meat in the lion's den is being hung out there right now. And I hate it, but that's what's happening. I'm not rooting for it, but other people are. I look at Ben and Joe. I see two guys that can play together. I see two guys that I don't give a damn whether or not they're best friends. I just give a damn whether or not they're successful on the court. And it seems like they at least have that common goal together.
Right. Another quick point real quick. That play that Namdi's in, the writer, that Charles Fuller, is from Philadelphia. He's a Roman Catholic grad.
What?
Really?
Look at that.
Man.
Her hands are all over the place.
Is he an Eagles fan?
I imagine so.
Well, he better be.
Anybody who goes to Roman, this freshman year, you read about this guy, and you read his book, The Soldier's Play. He's also a LaSalle guy, but graduated from Roman Catholic.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, look at that. All right. Thanks for the call, Bill. I appreciate it, man. Take it easy, man. That's interesting. I know that there's a Sal guy,
the PCL University guy won the dunk contest.
Yes, he. That was fixed.
No,
That was fixed.
No,
that was stopped.
No,
Aaron Gordon, dude, come on,
calmer than you are.
Stop it. What?
What?
Calmer than I am. What was that?
Nothing. Derek Jones Jr. won before it went to overtime on the final dunk. He was better. Aaron Gordon got overloved, and then Dwayne Wade cooked it. It was supposed to end in a tie. Did you see that?
No.
Judges said it was supposed to end in a tie. There was supposed to be a two-way champion, and then Dwayne Wade cooked it for the Miami Heat guy to win.
Oh, look at that.
But he's a PCL kid, so you know, it's very cool.
Where do you go, Carroll?
Yes.
Nah. I'm not PCL shaming. I'm not
PCL semifinals tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's
your
right.
Boys from Wood.
That's right. Is that Palestra?
Yeah.
So here's the deal. As far as the slam dunk contest go, Aaron Gordon, my brother summed it up great.
He got hosed, but Derek Jones was also very deserving.
Yeah, but my brother summed it up great. He's like, you can't even do that dunk in a video game.
That one, the best dunk the was windmill. The 360 windmill.
It was insane.
By the way, did you see Markelle Fultz botch the pass off the backboard at first? I wish him well, but I
don't.
I can't help but laugh.
That's not wishing a guy well. I had the same thought, but I wasn't going to bring it up.
Take off your stupid puffy coat and throw a pass.
I was like,
what the problem was.
Yeah.
It was the puffy coat.
Yeah, take off the puffy coat, man. Your outfit's not that important.
I was like, wow, hell is frozen over. Markelle Fultz is on an all-star court in any capacity.
And he couldn't hit the side of the backboard.
See, what happened was, I'm going to go over there now. Mike, KOP. Michael, what's up, bud?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Great, man.
Hey, first off, the Beetlejuice musical is awesome. I took my 12-year-old to see that for her birthday, and she loved it. It was great.
All right, hold on a second. Mike, I just need to do one thing. Jamie, let's isolate is awesome from Mike and KOP saying
never
that.
Never been heard of.
And we'll just
before.
Throw it in after, like, hey, Howie Rosen, what do you think? Is awesome. Great. Thanks, Mike. All right, sorry, Michael. Yes.
That's fake news. Howie Roseman. I don't. If my inner Joe Banner were to come out, I'd be like, this is a almost 30-year-old cornerback. I don't need it. Just draft well. Hire people to draft and evaluate talent better. Like, you don't need to go out and get a $15 million a year cornerback when you have so many holes on your team, and you don't need a 30-year-old quarterback coming in that's on the downswing of his career.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. It's not the way we should be doing things. We should be drafting and evaluating talent. God forbid they don't know how to do it, so they should get some people in to do it.
You're exactly right, Mike, but they're not good at that, so let's just go ahead and throw money at it.
Yeah, but they
stink at throwing money at it too. So I'd rather save money and stink at bringing in players than going out and bringing in crap players for exorbitant contracts.
Well, since Howie has retaken the reins in the front office, who's the player they threw money at that you're like, oh, that was a huge mistake? You're the wrong person to ask that, because everyone would be your answer.
Yeah, well, I just don't trust in Howie, so anything he does is stupid. You could eat a peanut butter sandwich, and I'd be like, you're eating it wrong, idiot.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
All right, always a pleasure, buddy. Speaking of which, this has now reached a viral state. And Jamie, apparently you were the first to tweet it out, but Trey, did you see this?
What's that?
I saw Katie Nolan put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
My personal best friend, Katie Nolan, who has acknowledged our friendship on the air here. People, how they cut a sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Now, Trey's a big PB&J man, so yeah. He probably cuts sandwiches frequently.
I never cut my sandwich.
Oh, you don't?
You just go right in?
Just go right
now,
in.
Now, I saw
I don't cut a peanut butter and jelly either.
I saw people shaming sandwich cutters, saying, can we all just be adults and not cut our sandwiches? And I was like, what? It's scientifically proven to taste better when you cut it.
Yeah. And
the science is my gut.
And it also proves you're not a barbarian.
Yeah.
Like, you eat like a civilized
human being. Apparently, we work with two barbarians.
There's a couple of barbarians in here.
No, well, you have to cut a grilled cheese because you're always dipping a grilled cheese. Grilled cheese, you have to have a soup.
Not always.
No.
Always. Yeah.
Sometimes I do the quick, you know.
I like a little hot sauce sometimes with a little blue cheese or with a grilled cheese sandwich.
Sometimes I'll put a little mustard on a plate and dip it in that.
I've heard mustard is great on a grilled cheese.
Yeah. I'm intrigued. I'm not shaming. I'm not condiment
ketchup
shaming.
Ketchup is for psychopaths, right?
Yes.
On a grilled cheese?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that.
Too, but whatever.
Well, I agree with you there, but I'm not going to shame those that do that.
You do whatever you want to your egg. It's an incredible egg for a reason. But here's the thing. The thing what's gone viral is the question of how you cut the sandwich. And it's not from corner to corner and down the middle. It's corner to corner and down the middle with the arc of the bread on one side, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
It's not down the middle of the arc of the bread.
No.
You know, what us, you know, non...
It's going diagonal.
No. That's a common way.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I don't know anyone that cuts it arc on one side, flat on the other.
Serial killers.
Yeah, they did it side to side, not top to bottom.
Ted Bundy was known to cut it in the middle like that.
That's what it was. That's what gave him away.
Did you not see the Ted Bundy tapes? He talked about it all the time.
So all these sandwiches cut down the middle.
It's like, how did you know? It's like, I had lunch with him, and he cut his sandwich like this, and that's how I knew. Slapped the cuffs on him right there. We can all agree that is serial killer behavior, right? That if you cut the bread with the arc at the top and the...
Yeah.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Like, I call that the top of the loaf. That is... I'll retweet it as well so people see it.
You mean cutting it right in the middle of the...
Yeah.
Across.
Yeah.
Horizontally, yeah, so not vertically.
It's not symmetrical at all.
Sam is a middle cutter.
I am a middle cutter, but symmetrical. Yeah.
So she gets a tape measure. She just to make sure she's
But to be
perfect.
Fair, it's because like I like a lot of stuff on my sandwich. So for like tomatoes and stuff, it's so hard to cut sideways because then it falls out of the little corner part.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like a pocket if you do it sideways. And that's what
that's right.
You that's why it's good.
We're just trying to help. We're trying to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
Eric in Central Jersey wants to talk about Darius Slay. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up. We'll get a little bit more into the Phillies. I don't know, Trey, if we should even mention the names Didi Gregorius and Gene Segura again, because it started infighting.
Yeah, it did.
But we'll
see how it goes.
We'll find a way
I'm
around
very
it.
Dumb.
And Gene Segura did something that I don't think I could do because I rely on it. Well, rely is a bad word.
You enjoy.
I need
partake,
it. Damn it. I need it. No, I'm sorry, guys. I need it. We'll get to that in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, as expected, people are weighing in already on this sandwich cutting debate. So I think we're going to do our part today like we did last week with whether it's okay to put your seat back on a plane. And we solved that problem. This is another problem.
We are house divided, though.
What, as far as the seat back on a plane?
The sandwich cutting. We have two lefties, one righty, and then two savages over here that don't cut it at all.
Yeah, I don't cut
my- I wouldn't expect Trey to cut a sandwich.
Yeah, like, what is that?
Basically, because everything Trey eats is bite-sized. Yeah, like, to him, it's bite-sized.
And I'm sitting there like, okay, wait a minute, I gotta cut my sandwich.
Do you go chunky or smooth, Trey?
I'm a smooth.
Okay.
Yeah, like creamy, creamy pounded peanut butter. Yeah, Smucker's jam.
Yeah.
I finally got my wife. I finally got my wife to stop buying the peanut butter you had to stir.
That's what Addie buys. She buys the organic peanut butter.
Yeah, I'm like, yo.
It's no good.
I asked some at the house. I'd bring it to you. I bought some by accident.
Okay. And I'm a chunky man.
And I bought two containers. So I open one. I give you the one that hasn't been opened.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't like the organic as much. Addie loves it.
I got to mess with the oil and all.
Yeah, you got to stir it. It's like a forearm workout. Yeah,
I wrote it into our wedding vows that she won't buy that jazz anymore. And guess what? She don't buy that anymore.
That's a big win.
I was so upset when I took the top off and it was all this liquid there.
Weird.
I'm like, what am I doing with this?
I was like, the peanut butter's gone back. It's terrible.
Return this.
What is this? This is terrible. Then you get another one. It's like, what the hell? So I started buying. I went to Aldi. Mm. And I bought a big vat of peanut butter.
I heard Aldi's great.
I'll tell you what. We have a friend who came over and she loves Aldi. So Don and I went and checked it out. Mildly impressed.
Aldi scared me.
Why?
Because there's like such great deals. People are going nuts for stuff.
Is it really? Like I
it's like $1.50 for a cereal. I'm like, am I at the Dollar General?
Oh, wow.
Where am I right now?
Yeah, check it out further. Prices.
I just hate going grocery shopping, period, anyway.
I like grocery shopping.
Too much for me at times.
Yeah, you don't like it?
I suck at it.
Jamie gets like the sweats over it.
Yeah. Because I end up doing like laps and just like retracing my steps and I'll forget one thing and then I'm side to side of the store. It's awful.
That's where you got to be, I mean, not for nothing, but you got to be like me. You eat three things. I like nachos, I eat eggs, and I like pasta, and I'm pretty much done after that.
My wife sent me to the store one time for food coloring.
How'd that go?
Man, I was there for probably about 30 minutes, like, where the hell is the food coloring?
Yeah, that would be your baking aisle.
Finally, I found someone that pointed me in the right direction, and then she was like, well, what colors do you need, you know?
I only shop in my home field, you know what I'm saying? Like home field advantage.
New grocery store is terrifying.
Yeah, I freak out. I'm like, I'm not one for anxiety, but like that's where I look around and I go, okay, I can see why people would be a little thrown off by this.
That's where you go up and down every aisle.
No, I'm out.
See, I allot myself, time, so I just up and down every aisle.
Really?
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
You know what? You think I'm weird for going to a McDonald's whenever I go to a new country?
Yes, I do. Very much.
You know
so.
What else I do whenever I'm in a new country? I go to a grocery store and see how they do it.
And see how they do.
Yeah, for two reasons. One, because
in case
intrigued.
You ever decide to open a grocery store.
No, in case I ever decide to move to that country. But no, for two reasons. One, see how they do it. And the other reason is because usually there's a point in a vacation where it's like, I'm spending a little too much money. And I just go buy a grocery or two and save a couple of bucks.
Okay.
There we go. I'm fascinated by grocery stores and how they do things in other places.
I love grocery stores. I have no problem with them.
You could label me a simpleton. You are listening to 975 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. So we got into this conversation with Gene Segura. And how much weight he's lost. He's lost 14 pounds, Trey. He's lost 14 pounds. He looks svelte. Like, I don't know if he was hitting the weights as well, but you would put on weight if you were doing that.
No,
but he looks trim.
Not necessarily. You can still lean up when you're lifting weights.
Tone, right?
Yeah, you can tone it up.
And he looked like he has tone.
Yeah, he put down the whiskey bottle.
He gives up whiskey to help him lose weight.
Yeah.
Is there, like, an amazing amount of sugar in whiskey?
I don't know.
Because I drink a lot of whiskey.
I don't drink whiskey.
Whiskey is my go-to.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm at a bar, it's Jack Daniels on the rocks, and that's usually how I do. That's usually my drink of choice. I rarely drink beer, but whiskey's my go-to. So if I stopped drinking whiskey, would my weight plummet? Would that be a good health decision? And I'm not talking about, like, I throw back whiskey left and right. That is my go-to drink. Like, I don't really have time to get hammered anymore. But is that, like, a big weight detriment to drink whiskey?
Apparently, it's 40 calories per ounce, or I think somebody tweeted me that yesterday.
Wow.
So it's a little bit more than I guess we realized, but I don't think it's that
like
bad.
Vodka was the thing for a long time that people drank to lose weight, like a vodka water.
Yeah.
Right? And then the other thing is like tequila.
But
drink
to lose weight?
As Ron Burgundy said, clear liquor is for housewives and tennis clubs. Whatever.
But
that
tequila
was
has been like the new thing now that people drink to lose weight.
Yeah.
I don't know. I drink tequila all the time.
And you look great.
Thank you.
You're also the new owner of Peloton, so you look fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I've been spinning until I bleed.
That sounds horrible. But is tequila the one that's supposed to be the good thing?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I've always drunk and had tequila. But, you know, I feel like with whiskey, I just feel like we can meet outside and it might be have six shooters. Say when. I feel like Doc Holliday or something. I don't know.
Quick draw.
I'm your huckleberry.
Yeah, I'm your huckleberry.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the idea that this has become a thing in recent years. A more popular thing that the brand of alcohol, excuse me, the type of alcohol has to do with your weight. Like beer, it's like pretty much don't drink beer and you'll lose weight. And now it's like vodka has its big trend and now it's like seltzer drinks are really big now, right? And even though they can have a lot of calories too. And then the other now has become a big thing with the tequila. Mm-hmm. The tequila thing has become a huge deal.
Yeah, I've always done tequila.
Isn't tequila, really good tequila supposed to almost have no taste? Supposed to just go down really smooth?
Oh.
Not sure.
This guy, okay, through someone I know, this guy is a multi-millionaire.
Real quick, whiskey is 70 calories per ounce.
So that's like a steak. It's basically drinking steak. I don't know. So this guy I know, through someone, he's a multi-millionaire. This guy could buy and sell probably, you know, all of us. And he was like, I just got back from Mexico and I have this new bottle of tequila. It was like $1,000 or whatever.
Tequila is 64 calories per ounce. So it's only slightly better.
I'm like, okay, so he pours everyone at this little party a shot of this tequila. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a guy spending like over $1,000 on this bottle of tequila? Mm. It was water, as far as I was concerned. No. I'm like, this guy got fleeced. So, like, there I've talked to other big tequila people, and they're all like, oh, no, it's the greatest thing. It helps you lose weight, and it's supposed to be really smooth, almost like refreshing. And I was like, I never would have thought that. Maybe that's because of the why am I getting licking salt before a tequila shot?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. No, I never do the salt.
You just drink it straight up.
Just straight
on the rocks?
On the rocks.
On the rocks, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Yeah. That's it. Ice. Bam. There you go. Drink.
All right. Well, that sounds lovely.
Maybe a lime.
All right.
If I'm feeling fancy.
If I'm going to put the pinky out.
Yeah. If I want to class up my drink, I put a little put a lime on it.
All right. Coming up at 9 o'clock, about an hour from now, we're going to talk to John Clark of NBC's
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.